Welcome to the Dayspring Podcast, where we delve into faith and fellowship through the teachings of Christ. Join us every week as we explore God's Word and discuss how to live out your faith in today's world. Be blessed as you listen to this sermon. Your kingdom come,
your will be done. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10. Verse 38 to 42. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." I want us to read the last verse again together. Are you ready? Let's go. "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." I'm speaking on what I've titled, "That Good Part." That good part. I want us to read Genesis chapter 13 as well, from verse 8 to 14. Genesis 13, 8 to 14. "So Abraham said to Lot, 'Please, let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers.'" It's telling us that when you see brothers, there should not be strife. Tell the person next to you, "You are my brother, you are my sister." And this is Christian brother, Christian sister. So tell the person, "You are my brother, you are my sister." Verse 9, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Verse 11, "Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities and the plains, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot separated from him, 'Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward.'" Let's continue. "For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever." Amen. Like I said, I'm speaking on what I've titled, "That Good Part." Now, one of the things that is interesting about human beings, and let me start from there, is that, like Samuel said, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. It's one of the things that beats us as human beings, that the natural tendency you have as a man is to look on the outside, is to look at what you can see. It's not your fault. You are a physical being. You are created a physical being. Even though you do have a spirit, your eyes have not been given easy access to see into deeper things apart from what you see physically. Now, it means that your reactions to these things is also going to be from the standpoint of what you see and what you understand. for Lot, you would see that he wanted a good portion for himself and for his family. And so there's nothing wrong with wanting the good part. Say, I want the good part. I want the good part. Between a Vitz and a Land Cruiser, I want the good part. Oh, I don't, stop looking at me like you're pretending. I mean, I want the good part. Yeah, we want the good part. But the thing is, sometimes, just like with Lot and Abraham, the good part may not easily be seen as the good part. And so he sees the plain, and even the Bible says, the way it looked like the Garden of Eden. Very beautiful, very nice. It was normal that he would want to choose the good part. And so he chose that good part. Abraham, however, now gets what is left. But he finds out later on that that part that is left was actually the good part. I pray that your eyes will be open to see when a good part comes to you. You read the Luke chapter 10 account of Martha meeting with Jesus, and you see that it is a good thing that she invites Jesus into the house. Ladies and gentlemen, our goal as a church is to make sure that in all that we do, we invite Jesus and we have his presence there. I think that should be the goal of every church, that whether it's worship, it's prayer, it's the reading of God's word, it's the preaching of God's word, even if it's giving, we do it in the presence of God. And Martha is good in that she welcomes Jesus into her house. May you be the reason Jesus is welcome in your house. I know that maybe you may be in a house where not everybody is saved, not everybody goes to church, but you can be the reason that Jesus will be in that house. I pray for you, may you invite Jesus into your home. That should be the goal. So when they invite Jesus in, it seems as though from the account, Jesus enters the house and immediately starts talking. But look at it carefully and you will realize that is not the case. Nobody would just enter the house and start teaching. He enters the house and is met with a sister who decides that if I have met with Jesus, the best thing I can do is to sit and listen to him. And because she chooses that, Jesus now starts teaching. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus will speak to the one who is willing to listen. If you don't make time to listen to God, it's not likely you would hear his voice. You make time to listen and you will hear. If you don't make that time to listen, you are not likely to hear. And the story is telling us that there were two sisters, and Martha being the one who actually invites him into the house, doesn't take time to listen. You can actually put in the effort of getting God there and not listen. Maybe because you need to do one thing or the other. And for Martha's case, Jesus coming to the house meant that I must cook my best meal. You see, there is a fight we fight sometimes as human beings, and it's a fight between the necessary and the good. The excuses we make sometimes for following God are not evil. A lot of times, they are necessary. The question is it good? And so she goes about making food, doing all she can, and she's putting the effort in. And Mary is sitting down, listening. The thing is, we have to put in the effort of listening. Have you ever seen two people who are arguing, and when you take the time to listen to the two of them, you realize they're arguing from the same point? But why are you fighting? What you are saying is this, and this person is also saying this, but using different words. But why are you fighting? The fight is because they are not listening to each other. They are hearing words and they are waiting for words to stop so that they can respond. But if you take your time and you listen, we realize we are on the same side. But we have a problem with listening. We have a problem, a big issue with listening. And what happens is when you don't listen, you miss the good part. Tell somebody the good part. The good part. You see, Jesus says, Martha, you are serving, you are doing all these things, but Mary has chosen the good part. Say the good part. Mary is chosen to listen, because when you don't listen, you miss the good part. When Wednesday we talked about what was good, and we saw that even Jesus did not easily call himself good. When they called him good teacher, he said, why do you call me good? There is no one who is good except God. Now the good word there meant that the good that is being done is fully for the benefit of others. But the good word here is like the best portion of a thing. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's the best portion of a thing. And Mary was saying, when you meet with me, and Jesus was saying, Mary has met with me and she's chosen the best part of me. Have you eaten tilapia before? Is it nice? You've eaten tilapia before, especially the grilled one with banku and assorted pepper with the tomatoes cut in it. I'm preaching there. Yeah. You can take it as a prophecy. It's powerful. When they cut the onions and cut the tomatoes and they've arranged it nicely with the banku and they spice the tilapia, that the juices are coming out of the tilapia like it's... I want to ask, what's the best part of the tilapia? You see, on average, a lot of people will say it's the head. Do you know why? Fat. There's a lot of fat in the head. And the eyes are very soft, succulent, and sweet. So, yeah, I know what she's talking about. Don't judge me. I know what she's talking about. You see, there's a good part. For instance, if you do jollof, what's the good part? Hey! Like, let everybody eat the jollof. Like, I want... Especially if it's party jollof. You see, but do you know somebody will argue with you that that's not the good part? That the good part is the part with the proper corned beef and the meat and the carrots in it with the green peppers and the green peas. A lot of times when we talk about good, it can easily be relative. You can see that this part may be good, this part may be good. But you can't deny that there is the necessary part and then there is the good part. You can't tell me you are going to keep eating fish head continuously, even though it's the nice part for you. You need the raw fish too if you are going to be healthy. Are you here, somebody? And you can't keep eating kanzo no matter how biscuit-like it is. You are going to need to eat the healthy part of the food. So there's a good part, but there's a necessary part. Say, I want the good part. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have to have that orientation that we want the good part. We have to have it. Because unfortunately, social media keeps teaching us that we should look for the bad parts. They call it red flag. Are you here? So when you even meet somebody, or you go for a job interview, or you have an encounter of one kind or the other, instinctively, you start to look for what is wrong. What's wrong? What's the red flag? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's one of the most unfortunate things about this generation. It's the reason why too many people are single. In our grandparents' time, they didn't meet the person, but they'll show you a picture and they'll tell you the good part. She can cook, she's caring, she was raised by this man, she comes from this family, this, she's an ewe. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was how they met. they will be shown the good part. So the relationship, even though they have not met, begins from a point where they say, this is the good in this person, this is the good in me, let the good come together. And they meet the red flags later and they manage it because the focus was the good from the beginning. Are you here, somebody? But today people meet and the first thing is, what's the red flag? What's wrong with this person? This person talks too much. Or this person is only making 1,500 a month. This person is from a family where they are always renting. And you see, from the very beginning, like I can't believe some people meet, and the first thing the question is, so what are the generational curses in the family? Hey, are they? No, what kind of pressure is that? Hey, I'm not saying it's necessary, but it's not good. Look at yeah, like what are they? You want to start breaking first before? No, by the time you finish breaking, you won't like me. Meanwhile, you are coming to ask that question, your own is worse. Are you following me, ladies and gentlemen? It's important that in every situation, look for the good. We've forgotten that there are green flags. That you come to a church like this, it may be your first time, but I'm telling you, many times you come and the first thing is, what is not working? What upsets you about being in the church? I don't blame you for that, but ladies and gentlemen, if all you do is do that, you are going to mark the pastor's preaching, mark the worship. You are not going to give good marks. You're going to say, oh, in this church, I won't go. And that is how you will be jumping from church to church, because all you see is red flags. But can you be in a place where you can see good things and focus on those good things? Say, I want the good part. I spoke to a lady and I asked her, because she met a guy, and she keeps saying, the guy is so good, the guy is this, the guy is this, the guy. And I looked at her and I said, so what's the problem? She said, Then she told me an issue she had with a guy. And I asked her, are you sure you are not using the 20% you have a problem with to stop you from enjoying the 80% in the person? Because the reality is, you can say no to this guy, choose another guy who has the 20 you are looking for, but that's all he has. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is why people stay, because it cripples you to a point where you can't see good in people anymore. Say, I want the good part. There has to be a good part. There is a good part. Some of us are even sitting here, and whenever you think about yourself, the thing that comes to your mind is the bad part of you. I want to speak to you for a moment. If you were all bad, God would not have allowed you to exist. Let me just say that. If you were all bad, He would not have searched for you. If you were all bad, Jesus would not have died for you. Let me say it one more time. If you were all bad, you would not even be in church today. There's something good in you. If nothing at all, the fact that you said, I'm coming to church, it's a good thing in you. Don't look at yourself and say, I'm full of bad. There's something good about you. I'm here to call it out. I speak that good aspect of you out. And don't waste time with people who only see bad things about you. They are not your people. Push them aside. Focus on the people who can see good in you. Say, I want the good part. I want the good part. The scripture is saying that Mary took her time, sat down, and said, I want the good part. And chose it. And chose the good part. You see, sometimes, because we don't choose the good part, we struggle. Let me ask, when it comes to church service, what would you say is the good part? Church service, from the beginning of the service to the end of the service, what would you say is the good part? I want answers. Help me out. What would you say? The worship. Mm-hmm. What would you say? The preaching. Uh-huh. What's the good part? The prayer. Powerful. You see, you can easily see that in the church service, there's a lot of good things in the service. And there are a lot of necessary things in the service. Very necessary things. But when Jesus meets with Mary and Martha looks at the situation, she gets upset and speaks about it. And Jesus says, what you are doing is necessary. It's necessary that you are in the church and you are singing. It's necessary that you are in the church and you are worshiping. It's necessary that you are helping out with the sound. It's necessary that you are ushering. It's necessary that you are winning souls. It's important. It's necessary that you are playing the keyboard. It's necessary that you are sitting down listening to the word. But Jesus said, the thing that is necessary, the good part, is that when you sit, you hear the word and you receive it. Jesus answered, all of these things are good. I mean, if Jesus left that house without eating, it would not have been good. I hope you understand me. Even culturally, it would not have been right. He must eat some unleavened bread. I mean, that was the delicacy at that time, unleavened bread. Maybe today it will be fufu. Fufu is a very spiritual meal. See, it would not have been very good for him to come, go without eating. He should have eaten. And it became Martha's worry. Listen, it became her worry. He must not leave without being worshipped. He must not leave without hearing our prayer requests. He must not leave without us dancing to him and praising him. He must not leave without us doing all those things. But Jesus said, it's good you do all those things, but can you listen to what I'm saying to you? Can you hear me when I'm talking? That after you've done all those things, can you receive a word from me and keep it? That's why when the preaching is going on, the word is coming to you. You don't sit down and be pressing phone. Are you listening to me? That's the time that you should take a notebook and try and be rewriting. Unless maybe your notes is on your phone. That's cool. But you see, I mean, Gen Z, it's good. But the ability to retain the word becomes the most important thing. Do you know why it's important? Because like Martha, we are worried about many things. Worried about many things. Martha is so worried. Do you know that she wasn't worried alone about the food alone? Jesus says she's worried about many things. It's not just food. She's probably worried about when she's going to marry. She's worried about the fact that there's no food in the house. And she has to go and now ask somebody for. She's worried about her sister, who seems to be lazy. She's worried about so many things. She sits down and she's... One of the most difficult things to be is an overthinker. That you went to bed at 8, but your brain rested at 11. Because you're an overthinker. You are worried about so many things. Thinking about so many things. So worried. And Jesus could diagnose Martha. You are too worried about too many things. But the thing that you need is not for you to keep worrying, is to hear from me. That what you are worried about, there is a solution. If you can listen to me, there's a solution. If you can spend time with me, what you are worried about, I will say something that will be an answer to you. I don't know how many times I've gone through it where somebody's preaching. I just picked it, kept it. And later on, I was in a situation, and it is the preaching that helped me through the situation. I don't know how many times. But ladies and gentlemen, your ability to take the word of God and hold it, it's what will make you different. It's what will help you when the worries come. So many people are so worried, we miss the good part. But tell somebody, I want the good part. Look, there's somebody, you are even here sitting down right now, you are so worried about a family member, worried about your own life, that you can't even listen to one sermon. 30 minutes. But can you just say, I'm putting this problem aside. I know I'm going through it. I know I'm in this issue, but I'm going to put it aside and listen to what Jesus says, because if I can hear it, it will be the good part. And you know what Jesus said about that good part? It will never be taken away from you. Because I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are certain things when God gives it to you, you don't lose it. We have to be able to hold the word of God. And if we can hold it, anything he blesses us with, we will not lose it. Because Lot lost it. He looked at what was good and tried and chose what was good, and he lost it eventually. But the Bible says God came to Abraham and told Abraham, the part that you have may not look like the best part, but it is the good part. And it's going to be for you, and it's going to be for your family forever. Can I prophesy over you this morning that what God is going to bless you with, you will not lose it. I pray that when the word of God is coming to you, you will have the ability to retain it, and you will not lose it. May God bless you with something that the enemy cannot steal. May God bless you with something that no human being can take away from you. May God give something into your bosom that will be too hard that the enemy will try and take it, but it's a land that he has blessed you with, and your children will come and enjoy it. Your children's children will come and enjoy it. The best thing you can give to your children is the word of God. The best thing you can give to your family is the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the good part. And when you find it, nobody will take it away from you. They can take your salary away from you. Look, you can even be blessed with a house, and they'll take it away from you. One court issue, and they can take your land away from you. You can be healthy today, and something will take your health away from you. But nobody can take the word of God from you. And I pray that may the best part of your week be when you spend time with the word of God. May the best part of your week be the time you spend in the presence of God, because that good part, it will never be taken away from you. May God bless you with the best part of himself, his word that will never pass away. And may his word now bless you with something that no enemy, no Sodom and Gomorrah, no relative can take away from you. Receive that blessing from God in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Dayspring Podcast. Hope you were blessed. Connect with us on all social media platforms at ICGC Dayspring. God bless you. Your kingdom come, your will be done.